And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Juneau public health officials warn that this flu and respiratory virus season is likely to be more severe than usual. KTOO's Claire Strumble has the details.
Seasonal flu activity is increasing substantially across the state, and the rate is especially high in southeast Alaska. Allison Gotchlick with the Juneau Public Health Center says Alaska's flu season started earlier than usual. Typically starts in December or January. State health officials say it likely has not peaked yet.
This month, we're seeing a lot more flu than what we usually would, which makes us a little bit nervous.
She said she's seeing prolonged and severe illness this year. Gotchlick said Juneau is also seeing some cases of respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. The virus usually is mild, but can be dangerous for children and elders. RSV is surging in the lower 48. Gotchlick says that's a red flag for Alaska.
We're anticipating seeing more respiratory illness, potentially severe respiratory illness, in little ones in the coming weeks. And so we want folks to know that that might be coming.
Gotchlick pointed to overwhelmed hospitals in the lower 48 and even some Alaska hospitals that are reaching capacity, particularly pediatric beds in Anchorage and northern hospitals. In Juneau, the effects have not been so dire, but she said there's anecdotal evidence that respiratory illness is circulating in the community.
There's been a lot of school absenteeism and, you know, hearing about a lot of kiddos who are just sick and missing out on things, people calling out of work.
Juneau school district officials say absences were elevated before Thanksgiving, but are now normal for this time of year. They confirmed students have tested positive for RSV. Erin Harden, a spokesperson from Bartlett Regional Hospital, says they see 5 to 7 flu or RSV patients every day.
We are definitely seeing a lot of RSV cases coming into the emergency department, and that includes both adults and pediatric patients. Most have been able to discharge and go home after being seen, but we have had a few kids admitted into the hospital due to RSV.
She says there's been an average of 1 pediatric patient who stays in the hospital per week. Harden said the uptick in patients has not affected hospital capacity. Juneau Public Health offered some guidance to keep illness from spreading over the holidays. Stay home if you're sick. Wash your hands. Don't kiss little children or infants on their face and hands. And get a flu and COVID-19 vaccine. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strumple.
And federal safety investigators are calling for new, more restrictive regulations on flight-seeing tours in the Ketchikan area after a series of crashes. The National Transportation Safety Board says previous approaches focused on voluntary compliance have proven ineffective at addressing the unique hazards of flying in the area. The agency's 20-page report calls on the Federal Aviation Administration to impose specific regulations for Ketchikan air tours above and beyond what's normally required. The NTSB says it's looking to prevent pilots being caught in clouds unexpectedly without the equipment necessary to navigate them. Large commercial airliners carry specialized instruments that allow them to fly in low visibility conditions, but small flight seeing planes typically operate under so-called, quote, visual flight rules. That is, they rely on what pilots can see out the window. The report highlights 7 fatal flight seeing crashes in the Ketchikan area since 2007 that killed a total of 31 people and injured another 13. 3 of those crashes involved flying into poor weather conditions and crashing into terrain, including the most recent crash in the Misty Fjords National Monument Wilderness last year. Those 3 crashes resulted in 20 deaths. Current regulations on air tours require visibility of at least 2 miles when clouds are less than 1,000 feet above the ground. Pilots must also fly at least 500 feet above ground level. But Ketchikan is more complex. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy says in a news release that the area's fast-changing weather and mountainous terrain present, quote, unique but well-understood safety hazards. The report asks the FAA to work with the National Weather Service to come up with more conservative weather standards for flight scene tours in Ketchikan and require specialized training. And students were evacuated from Kodiak's North Star Elementary School after a suspicious package was reported outside the school on Wednesday. Local and state federal agencies responded, but as KMXT's Brian Venwell reports, it turned out to be a false alarm.
North Star Elementary students and staff were put on alert Wednesday morning after a suspicious wooden box was placed near the building. Cindy Mika is the Kodiak Island Borough School District Superintendent. Mika says staff notified both Alaska State Troopers as well as the Kodiak Police Department immediately after discovery.
The school was placed into shelter in place away from the suspicious package. Students were evacuated by bus to Bayside Fire Station by mutual decision of law enforcement and the district in an abundance of caution.
According to a statement from Alaska State Troopers, the box turned out to be empty. Troopers contacted the individual who placed the box near the school. The individual said they found it on the side of the road and assumed it belonged to a student or staff member. After the evacuation, parents lined up outside Bayside Fire Station in the cold to pick up their children. One parent, who declined to give their name, shared their experience.
We were told that they were sheltering in place and that there was a suspicious package, and then we got a phone call saying that we needed to come down here to Bayside and pick up our children. So we're here standing in line, waiting to get our kid.
The parent says they appreciated the school's caution.
Better safe than sorry. It's kind of scary, but just glad they're safe.
Kodiak Police Chief Tim Putney says the department worked with multiple agencies to ensure safety during the investigation.
Troopers, wildlife troopers, and KPD responded to the school and secured the area. Bayside Fire, Kodiak Fire, and U.S. Coast Guard Fire, and Coast Guard military police all helped with the aftermath.
Agents from the Federal Bureau of Investigation also assisted local law enforcement, according to the troopers. Superintendent Mika thanked emergency response staff and the community for their patience during the evacuation.
The professionalism of staff and our law enforcement and fire department partners allowed this effort to go as smoothly and timely as possible. We thank parents, families, and caregivers for their patience and understanding.
The district will also review their actions with emergency response partners in an effort to improve future procedures. Students will return to North Star tomorrow, where counselors will be available. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venois.
A member of a national committee that looked at PFAS health effects shared information about the project during an Alaska Collaborative on Health and Environment webinar on Wednesday. KUAC's Dan Bross reports.
Dr. Laura Anderko co-authored a recent National Academy of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine Special Committee PFAS report. Dr. Anderko said the committee reviewed scientific literature and data on human health effects linked to PFAS exposure and categorized them based on how strong the connection is, starting with those where there's sufficient evidence not based on chance or bias. They include decreased antibody response and several others.
Dyslipidemia or high cholesterol, adults and children both, decreased infant and fetal growth, and an increased risk of kidney cancer in adults.
The second category group, PFAS health effects for which there is limited or suggestive evidence. That list includes liver enzyme alterations and increased risks for thyroid disease and dysfunction, ulcerative colitis, testicular cancer, and pregnancy-induced hypertension. Anderko said the review also yielded a new connection.
An increased risk of breast cancer in adults, which had not been documented up to this point.
Dr. Anderko said the committee used all the PFAS health effect information to develop clinical recommendations, including blood testing for the chemicals.
People who are highly exposed should be encouraged to get a blood test.
Anderko said the committee noted that there are a limited number of laboratories in the country which screen blood samples for PFAS and also emphasized their relatively high cost and test access inequities. PFAS is widely used in consumer and industrial products, and PFAS-containing firefighting foams have contaminated groundwater at numerous locations in Alaska. Anderko said the EPA released a more stringent interim drinking water health advisory level for some PFAS chemicals this past summer.
It's gone from 70 parts per trillion all the way to 0.004. That's incredibly huge difference.
Anderko noted that there is federal money available to help communities with PFAS contaminated water. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
And here in Juneau, the current temperature is 23 degrees at the International Airport down in the valley. It's also overcast. Later today, it's expected to stay around this temperature, but get down into the 20s later tonight. Winds are around 20 miles an hour and may increase tonight to 30 miles an hour. Tomorrow is supposed to be sunny with a high of 24 degrees and a low of 18 degrees. And it's also supposed to be windy tomorrow as well. This weekend is also looking sunny with a high around 32 and lows in the mid-20s. So looking a little bit warmer than it has been this week. Find more stories on KTOO.org. This is KTOO.